Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It is such a thrill to be back here in the studio. And thank you to all our dear friends, friends of Bob Enyart Live, for filling in the last 2 weeks. Yes, today was the launch of a major project from American Right to Life, ProLifeProfiles.com. Months ago, timed to hit the streets with Sarah Palin's book. She's on Oprah today. She's all over the media. Her book is released tomorrow. There will be an American Right to Life event at a Sarah Palin book signing later this week. And interview requests, because of the launch of Pro-Life Profiles and highlighting Sarah Palin's profile, interview requests have come in from all over the country. I'm going to play one of those interviews for you now. One of the more interesting ones, but from the East Coast to the West Coast here in Denver, westward in, on the East Coast, Jesse Lee Peterson Radio, California, Wiley Drake, who was on the ballot there for president. And this is with Mother Jones News. So they are the Save the Earth, Kill the Kids publication that's been around. I hope you enjoy it. Let's hit it.
So I'm writing a little thing about your very interesting analysis of Sarah Palin's pro-life record.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it does seem to be kind of counterintuitive and goes against a lot of the perceived, you know, the perceptions about her.
Right. Perceptions are not always reality, are they?
No. So actually, you know, I should back up. I should make sure I get your, and what's your title there?
Spokesman.
For American Right to Life, right?
Yes. Like, for example, George W. Bush, every time the subject came up in presidential debates, whenever, he said, I have no litmus test. I will not ask a candidate for a judicial position what his view on abortion is. And by all accounts, he kept that promise. I mean, we have our research on Alito, Samuel Alito, indicates five pretty strong pro-abortion rulings as a federal judge in New Jersey.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And his profile will be going up next week.
I saw that you had Justice Scalia was on your list.
Yeah.
And he's a good Catholic. I would be, you know, interested to see what you find on him.
Well, Justice Scalia has stated that really nine of the Ten Commandments have nothing to do with his job. That the only one that's relevant is do not bear false witness.
Huh.
So do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. Those things are not relevant to him. And that's the kind of world you get when you reject the Ten Commandments as he does. When he says that there's only one that's relevant, he's actually setting himself up as the lawgiver, as God.
Going back to Sarah Palin, so she's all in the news this week with her new book. I remember when she was, you know, running for as the vice president, that the liberal groups were really upset about her because they thought she had such a pro-life, you know, a hardcore pro-life record. She had said at one point that if her, you know, 14-year-old daughter was raped, that she would choose life, and you know, the daughter would have to have you know, go through with the pregnancy. And so the liberals were freaked out about that, but I guess I take that as a pretty pro-life stance, but your group has a very different take on her.
Yeah, the take is when politicians lie to Christians and say that they're pro-life, and then they actually implement pro-choice policies, that they need to be exposed. So that is a different take. Like, for example, Newt Gingrich was thinking of jumping in the race in 2008. And so the first thing he does when the thought crosses his mind that he might get in the Republican primary is he goes on Focus on the Family radio with Dr. Dobson, and he conveniently repents for adultery. I mean, he's playing the body of Christ for fools. So there's a rift in the pro-life movement, And one side is no longer satisfied with hypocrisy and lip service. Hypocrisy is wonderful for fundraising.
Some of the things I noticed on the list about Palin actually didn't all apply. They weren't all abortion-related issues, like her stance on creationism, which I thought was interesting because I saw today I read something, an excerpt of her book where she talks about when she was vetted by McCain's people as his running mate, that she refused to budge on her belief in creationism. But
yeah, like what did they want her to do? Say, well, if we're going to choose you, you have to lie to us and tell us that we came from monkeys. I mean, what an absurd thing. She wouldn't budge. But that's an example of political posturing. That's not separate from the abortion issue. That is the abortion issue. We have the right to life from our Creator. If we are animals, you can kill one another without moral consequence. A fish can eat another fish, and it's not a crime. If a person kills a child rather than going to the store for food, he is wicked.
Does your group's position on Palin put you kind of at odds with some of the more, bigger, more politically involved evangelical groups? Because they seem to love her and think that she represents all that they would want in a candidate.
They love Mitt Romney. They love whoever can give them a seat at the table and increase their mailing list and their revenue.
That's interesting. Because I mean,
Mitt Romney was against a defense of marriage effort in Massachusetts. He single-handedly ordered state workers to issue homosexual marriage licenses. He signed a tax-paid elective abortion service into effect. And he is the opposite of what is considered the pro-family agenda. He is the antithesis of it. And yet Focus on the Family will say of them and Mitt Romney that we are so similar.
Yeah, I saw him speak at the Values Voters Conference this year.
Yeah.
Seemed to be embraced by them.
Oh, yeah. 3 years in a row, he wins CPAC. He's the darling. I mean, Fred Thompson lobbies for Planned Parenthood, and National Right to Life splits their endorsement between Fred Thompson and Mitt Romney, who authorized tax-funded elective abortions. So the sellout of Christian morality is now palpable.
And you think Palin fits into that world, too?
Yeah, her heart is not as dark as Mitt Romney's, and he's been at this lies and deception for a lot longer. And our profile of Sarah Palin ends with an olive branch toward her and a statement that our Tier 1 has a spot reserved for her. But when given a choice for a Supreme Court justice in Alaska between a radical environmentalist and a radical pro-abortionist, she chooses the pro-abortionist. She prefers the pro-abortionist, which is at the heart and soul of the left.
I've heard it described as she cared more about oil than about babies or something to that effect.
Well, yeah, you could say it. It's like if she was given the choice between the KKK or PETA. You know, who's she going to choose?
Is this sort of, I guess I would describe it as a very purist view of the definition of a pro-life candidate?
Yeah, yes. Our view is if you support killing a child, you're not qualified. Just like if you supported owning a black, or you supported using Zyklon B against the Jews but not burying them alive. There's some issues that are disqualifiers.
Do you think that viewpoint is becoming more popular? How are people reacting to
this? It's extraordinary what's happened in the last 2 years, 2.5 years. We issued a press release 2.5 years ago saying a rift has opened in the Christian right, and today that rift has become a chasm. There are 33 states that in big ways or small ways are actively pursuing a personhood amendment or legislation. And that's in opposition to the old guard pro-life industry.
Why are they opposed to it?
You could answer that at so many levels, historically, financially. In 1981, Reagan was elected. He offered to National Right to Life he would sign a federal human life amendment. And they turned down that offer and they said, no, we prefer to work at the state level. And you could get that corroborated by Congressman Bob Dornan, who was there, by Dr. Charles Rice, law professor at Notre Dame, who's still writing. And so now fast forward almost 30 years later, and they oppose personhood amendments at the state level. So National Right to Life has become the National Republican Lobbying Committee. I mean, you could, you know, just Google the Washington Post. They take hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations from the Republican National Committee.
I think that's really fascinating. I didn't realize this until I read your press releases.
Yeah. And have you ever heard of the political parties donating to the lobbyist groups?
No.
No, that doesn't happen. That's going backwards. And that's an indication when the lobbyist group is in the pocket of partisan politics. So National Right to Life has been bought and sold by the Republican Party, and they will endorse any pro-choice Republican presidential candidate that they have influence over and who they think can win.
How big is the
American Right to Life?
Yes.
We were launched at a pro-life summit 2 years ago this weekend, and it was to challenge National Right to Life and promote the personhood movement.
Huh.
Today, there are signatures being gathered in Florida and California and Mississippi, and there are state affiliates of National Right to Life who have launched state personhood amendment efforts. There is a growing coalition of pro-life leaders who will no longer compromise on the killing of unborn children. And so we think the growth has been the equivalent of the starting of a movement.
Did your group endorse candidates in 2008?
We have a 527, so we're not a PAC, we're a 527. So you can't say don't vote for Mitt Romney, but you could say Mitt Romney is the son of the devil, and if you support him, you'll burn in hell. So that's the way the laws work. But our founding president was the vice presidential running mate of Alan Keyes. Keyes was on the ballot in Colorado and California and Florida and a number of other states.
With, who's that?
With America's Independent Party. Alan Keyes.
Uh-huh.
He was with the Reagan administration, black man.
No, I know he is. I thought you said your president was his running mate.
Yeah, vice presidential running mate.
Okay.
So you asked, have we endorsed political candidates? And yeah, through our 527, we will support those who would defend innocent children, and we will oppose others. And we had quite a role with Mitt Romney. If you look at our Romney exit press release, We take claim for derailing him in Iowa and South Carolina. The TV ads we produced are online. They were shown on ABC News, Fox News, Hannity and Combs, World News Tonight, and there were hundreds of blogs written about those ads, and they exposed Mitt Romney as being aggressively pro-abortion after his pro-life conversion.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was 2 years after his pro-life conversion that he authorized tax-funded elective abortion. So 2 years after his pro-life conversion, he authorized tax-funded elective abortion. And we ran a few hundred ads statewide in Iowa and South Carolina. We skipped New Hampshire because it doesn't have as strong a pro-life voting bloc as Iowa and South Carolina. And I've lost track of this report, but after Romney was trounced in Iowa, exit polls showed that the number one negative against Romney was that he was lying about being pro-life.
Wow.
And Clear Channel, they have a 50,000-watt station out in Des Moines. The number one show is Dace in the Morning. And Steve Dace could confirm that Romney lost because of the concerted effort by American Right to Life and a few others to expose him as lying about being pro-life.
Do you think that Sarah Palin is lying about being pro-life, or she's just personally pro-life but not willing to sort of use her position and power to translate that into legislation or law?
Yeah, if you're personally against slavery, but say that the states have the right to decide if people can trade in slaves, then you're a hypocrite. You know, and the world is filled with hypocrites. We just need to recognize it and to ask God to forgive us and give us the strength to love our neighbor and do what's right. Stephanie, that's another difference between the personhood movement and the old guard, National Right to Life and Jay Sekulow and all that crowd.
Right.
They would say National Right to Life, especially for 30 years, to their activists, we're going to win this based on the laws of science. We don't need to talk about God. But the laws of science don't use the terms right and wrong. The laws of science cannot show you that the Holocaust was wrong or lynching a black man is wrong. Our right to life comes from our Creator, and that's the heart of the pro-life movement.
So you're talking about some of the people who they've done things like put the 3D ultrasound machines in clinics as a way of talking about, you know, persuading women not to have abortions. I guess that would be the science end of their movement.
Well, yeah, that's true. And it's often said that 3D, 4D ultrasound shows us that abortion is wrong. But the first mutilated body of a little girl showed the world that they had just killed a child. And there have been millions since. The Hippocratic Oath from 2,500 years ago said, I will not provide an abortifacient, an abortion. The Mosaic Law, 3,500 years ago, makes it an additional crime to kill an unborn child. And every mother in history has said, I felt the baby kick. So 4D ultrasound just piles on.
Has your group ever confronted Palin with some of the things that you have in your case against her?
We plan on being at one of her book signings this week.
Oh, really? Which one?
Yeah. And should I tell you? It might spoil the plans. We plan to be there with banners and business cards and T-shirts that say prolifeprofiles.com/Palin. And we'll hand out brochures to just the reporters there of Sarah's profile.
Oh, wow.
And that's somewhere out there in the hinterlands.
An undisclosed location.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. She was in Colorado Springs, and we had a significant effort there, handed out thousands of pieces of literature.
And has she ever responded to it?
No, when you're in the vortex of presidential politics, a voice in the wilderness can't even be heard.
So whose minds are you hoping to change with this campaign?
First, Christians, and second, the world.
So not Palin herself, or
well,
perhaps herself, but
well,
a Christian. But.
Yeah, she's a Christian. You know, when the people lead, the leaders will follow. So the old guard said that they were bringing about a culture of life, and that was a phrase developed to justify compromise. So the personhood movement is ending abortion, and on the way, we will influence the culture. You don't stop slavery or the Holocaust by only trying to change hearts and minds.
So does that viewpoint... Where does that put you in the spectrum, like with regard to what happened to George Tiller?
Right. We have on our website, American Right to Life, right on the homepage, we have a vigilante worksheet, and we have very successfully convinced any number of extremists that killing an abortionist is immoral, it's a crime, and it's murder. The old guard has been unable to do that. The old guard supports abortion violence at some level. And I'm talking about National Right to Life.
Right.
And Sarah Palin. They say that they will support laws and leaders who advocate killing some kids. And they say, well, we have to do that. It's the lesser of two evils. We have to do that to reduce the number of abortions. And that's the same argument as those who kill abortionists. So either abortion is murder or it's not. And if abortion is murder, you don't support those who kill some children.
It's a very elegant logic to that.
Well, thank you. And of course, we recognize that because we say something doesn't make it right. But things are right or wrong independent of us. And so the ultimate question is there a creator God who made us? And did he give us a right to life? Did he say it's wrong to murder? And if there is a creator, which there is, and if he said do not murder, which he did, then abortion is a sin against God and a crime against your own child.
Well, I think you've answered most of the questions that I had. I just wondered if you could give me a heads up. I was wondering if you were going to be at the any of the Palin events. Because I was wondering if they're around here, I might go.
Well, no, you're back east, right?
Yeah, I'm in D.C.
Yeah, right. No, it's not. But I could tell you, and it's not a big deal. It wouldn't ruin our event. But she will be in. She has a book signing in Indiana on Thursday. And that's where some of our members will be, with banners and shirts and business cards and the Palin profile for the press.
Interesting. I might have to.
And we'll buy her book. We'll buy her book. We'll ask her to sign it. But see, if you report that, they won't let us in. No, actually, it's fine. You can report whatever you want. Of course, you don't need my permission.
I imagine that people will be interested to see what it says. Bits and pieces of it have been leaking out.
Yeah.
Somebody told me I haven't read it all, but I think she does talk about her decision when she found out she was pregnant with the last baby, you know, that she did mull over the possibility of abortion.
Our profile, we don't address that. We only link to the news accounts and her own words on it in our footnotes. We don't address it because it's just too harsh. The pro-life movement has sunk to such a low level that if you don't kill your own child, you are a leader. And to make matters worse, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Germany, Corrie ten Boom, Oskar Schindler, given the opportunity when no one was looking, they weren't going to kill a Jew. So this is a battle of what's in our hearts.
Okay. Well, great. This is actually a very interesting conversation, and I appreciate your taking time to talk to me.
Well, thank you, Stephanie.
Are you reachable at the same number?
Yeah, you got the American Right to Life number.
Yeah.
And did you get this number here?
No, I think actually, who did I talk to?
Donna Ballantyne.
And Will Duffy.
Yeah, and both of those numbers are good.
Okay.
Let me see. I'd be happy to give you my cell phone number.
Okay.
It's voice messages on it. Don't get heard for weeks on end. But
okay. Great.
Right? Okay.
Well, thanks very much for your help with
You're welcome. Thank you, Stephanie.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to my producer for muting my cell phone number. That's pretty handy. Now, Doug McBurney gives out his cell phone number for the Bob Inert Live Referral Network. But, hey, that interview, that's with Mother Jones Magazine. They are the Save the Earth, Kill the Kids publication that's been around for, what, decades? Are they leftover hippies or what, still, at Mother Jones? But what is so fascinating is that when we are promoting what is right, can you count all the teaching moments? All the teaching moments in an interview? I mean, that reporter, Stephanie, she has an eternal soul. We could have been talking about a 24-hour waiting period, and then you could have an abortion. And she would say, as liberals always do, well, if abortion is murder, why would you support this regulation? Why would you support Bush when he says you can abort all these kids for all these different reasons? And then their hypocrisy reveals something to the reporter, to the journalist, to the media, that these people must have ulterior motives because they don't act as though abortion is murder. Would Sarah Palin put on the Alaska Supreme Court someone who was a racist? If someone who was an unrepentant racist, a skinhead, and some nominees came to her and she saw, oh, look at this. It's come out that this guy is a secret member of the KKK. And then the guy doesn't repent. Would she go ahead and put him on the Supreme Court? Of course not, for racist. How about if he was guilty of bribery? How about if it turned out that he was accepting bribes? Would she put him on the Supreme Court? No, she wouldn't, because it would hurt her career. But how about if it's an extremist child killer, a board member for Planned Parenthood, an unrepentant child killer? So Sarah Palin has this choice. Okay, she says she had no choice. And that's what Mitt Romney says. These adults who say they're leaders, and then they say, well, I had no choice. I mean, if you are not a child, you have a choice. If you are not a child, and especially if you're a leader, there is always a choice. You always have a choice not to do evil, always. So when Sarah Palin is given the choice between an extremist environmentalist and an extremist child killer, she puts the extremist child killer on the Alaska Supreme Court by her own authority, and then she announces the decision. She praises it. She praises the justice. She says she's going to be a great judge for Alaska. Kill the kids and save the oil. Oh, and by the way, this is good for my political career, because I've noticed that when Republican candidates show that they're not extremists regarding child killing, they get ahead in the Republican Party. So I'm going to put a Planned Parenthood board member on the Alaska Supreme Court. Hey, welcome back. Well, I'm the one who's back. Bob and you're live. God bless you guys.